If you take the limestone cliffs in the UK, which are a very classic example, effectively what nature has been doing over millennia is storing carbon dioxide through a natural process of carbonation for millions and millions of years. The only thing that we've sought to do, in which a bunch of very brilliant professors who founded Carbonate Systems managed to do, was to take that process, which takes approximately 15 minutes in our case, where nature takes, you know, probably several millennia, and we capture the CO2 directly from the flue stack into the container. And then, if you will, if you can imagine this on a conveyor belt, you have as well the thermal waste residue from that operation, which comes in parallel, and the two are brought together through a series of steps and exposed to different elements and processes to effectively perform the ACT, so the accelerated carbonation technology, and to produce on the back end what is frequently referred to as an aggregate.
Welcome to Mindful Businesses, presented by Sarani, and I'm your host, Vidya Iyer. In our podcast, we bring to you brands that are mindful in their practices and processes. A mindful business adopts and employs sustainable social, economic, and environmental practices. Today, we have with us Martin van Boom, Chief Commercial Officer of Carbonate Systems, making carbon productive. He joins us from London, UK. Welcome, Martin.
Thank you very much, Vidya. It's great to be here.
So when we think about carbonation, the first thought that comes to my mind is, what is carbonation?
Effectively, what carbonation is carbonation is a form of CCUS, and CCUS is a form of permanent carbon capture. So I think the terms that you will see floating around a lot when you read articles in the media or television and all of the sustainability advances and innovations that you see, we talk about CCS a lot, which is carbon capture and storage. The terminology which is probably you see less frequently, but which we'd like to see a lot more frequently, is CCUS. And that's all about utilization. It's about carbon capture and utilization. Mm-hmm. And what carbonation is that carbonation and mineralization are a form of CCUS. So effectively, what we do and what carbonation is, it's permanently sequestering and storing CO2 within a physical compound that can then subsequently be reused again, and hence the U in the CCUS.
Why is it so important to capture it?
I mean, if you look at the variety of different industries, and one of the ones that we're focused on particularly is the sector of hard to abate industry. So if you look at, for example, the cement industry, which emits some 8% of global GHG, I think sometimes what we underestimate is that even though carbon, you know, gets a bad reputation at the moment, carbon can actually also really be used as a very useful compound, certainly in the circular economy, and for making certain products useful again. And we apply that specifically to waste. Mm-hmm. And so it's a way of capturing GHG emissions, which would otherwise end up in the atmosphere, and making those carbon molecules from CO2 useful again in new recycled building compounds in our specific case.
And when you say GHG, you mean greenhouse gases?
Yes, correct.
But nature has been capturing carbon for millennia. How does nature do it?
It's very similar. So it's effectively the carbon molecules reacting with, in this case, if you take the limestone cliffs in the UK, which are a very classic example, effectively what nature has been doing over millennia is storing carbon dioxide through a natural process of carbonation for millions and millions of years. The only thing that we've sought to do, in which a bunch of very brilliant professors who founded Carbonate Systems managed to do, was to take that process, which takes approximately 15 minutes in our case, where nature takes, you know, probably several millennia to do the same thing. So we're very much mimicking nature in that sense.
You talked about the cement industry. So which other industry or product or activities can be used to capture carbon?
I can speak about that. I'd probably, in order to give a good overview to you and your listeners, I'll probably take us one step back. And when I talked originally about CCUS being, and carbonation specifically, mineralization specifically, as a solution for GHG emissions, I think if we take a step back and we look at some of the hard-to-abate sectors like cement, but equally industries like the biomass industry, or we look at energy from waste, or we look at probably, in our specific case, any industry which produces thermal residues, so waste streams, as a result of combustion, usually of a fuel. In the case of an energy from waste plant, it arises from the combustion of household waste in many cases in order to generate electricity. In the case of a cement plant, it's frequently the use of alternative fuel firing systems, which leave behind a residue as well. And those residues, which in this case would be landfilled, both at an impact economically in terms of cost, but also in terms of a natural impact to the environment, those type of waste streams are ones that you can carbonate and effectively re-inject with CO2 as a form of permanent storage, so more than 99 years, and subsequently use again to enable the circular economy and generate new building materials that can be used again.
What is the pH level of this new product?
I think it depends very much on what the source is of the residue that you're using. And that is very different between industries, but it's also very different in between specific customers and producers. It all depends on what the residue is originating from in terms of a fuel source that's being fired.
So, Martin, when did you join Carbonate Systems?
Well, actually, only very recently. So I've only been with the company now just over 6 months. But I was actually employed at Royal Dutch Shell, the oil and gas major, for over 16 years.
And it's a complete contrast, right? What made you switch from the gas industry to a more sustainable industry?
So a very interesting one. I don't think it's even so much in the space of on which side of the, I suppose, carbon equation that you sit. I think it's more rather I was involved in my last role at Shell really working with startups, and a lot of those startups were in the sustainability space because, as I'm sure you're aware, meanwhile, the oil and gas majors are very heavily invested as well into finding new sustainable solutions to problems. But I was in a role in which I was, during a period of time, exposed in working with a large variety of startups in the sustainability space. And I thought that just the amount of energy and passion in that space was just incredibly infectious, and found myself, really at some point wanting to say, well, you know what, actually, I'd like to spend more of my time in that atmosphere and in that energy and with this, in a smaller scale enterprise, but with a lot of passionate people around me looking at sustainability solutions. And I decided to take a leap of faith. I think it took me a while to make that decision, but I'm incredibly happy that I've made it. And I feel incredibly comfortable meanwhile where I am.
How did you come across Carbonate Systems? How would you introduce to the company?
Yeah, so it was during a period actually where I was in the process of looking at a variety of companies for a project that we were doing. It was not one of the companies that we ended up engaging with, but it was one of the ones which looked quite interesting. And then I ended up sending a message effectively to one of its members, and there was a discussion that ensued and to become part of the conversation. Mm-hmm. In parallel, that company was looking to recruit someone to its executive management committee and for chief commercial officer position. And I decided to apply, and the rest is history.
You started working with Carbonate Systems fairly recently, but the founders are researchers, professors. Who are they?
So our company was originally founded by Dr. Colin Hills and Dr. Paula Carey, who are two leading geologists, I think globally recognized as leading geologists from the University of Greenwich here in the UK. They invented the ACT technology, which is accelerated carbonation technology for short. And they founded the company in 2006 whilst they were still working in academia, when they invented this technology to effectively speed up nature's work in the form of carbonation and mineralization. That's been going on since 2006, but the company has gone through several different iterations up until the point where we are now with a very modular mobile solution, which is a TRL 9 level technology, so ready for commercial deployment and in operation with customers around Europe at the moment.
Took almost 15 years from Eureka moment to actual commercial deployment. When was the company started?
So the first commercialization of the technology was back in 2006, which is when the first company was founded. And it then went through several different iterations. I mean, the actual technology has been in operation at three plants under license in the UK already for many, many, many years. It's only really that we started looking at the global landscape for the technology when the company managed to effectively encase the ACT technology in a mobile modular platform, which currently sits in two 40-foot containers that we can actually ship around the globe and in an almost plug-and-play fashion attached to players across the cement industry and some of the others which I'd mentioned previously.
If you step back a few years before the incorporation of the business, how did they transition from being geologists to being innovators in the energy field?
I'm not sure I could speak on their behalf, as they'd probably be far better positioned to answer that question than I do. But what I believe, I know both of them meanwhile better and better, and I have huge respect for what they've done over the years, is I do think that if you are the inventor of something ultimately which you think will do good in the sustainability space, in order to maximize the effect that you can have or the impact that you can have, even on a sustainability space, mm-hmm. I think that route has to lead through commercialization, investment, and deployment in order to really, even if you're looking for a maximum sustainability impact, I think that's the route to achieve that.
We often have so many researchers who do not see value in commercializing. It's because they are focused on their research. There are different sets of skills which are required to bring their research to market. How did these two researchers decide to bring their product to market?
I mean, in the current iteration of Carbonate Systems, I think the decision was really very much in the context of what I just provided in terms of, you know, having maximum impact. And then I think following on from there, bringing in a certain set of skills and competence from people who had been in industry for a long time, such as our CEO, John Pilkington, who's been, active across several enterprises within senior functions in the asset management and building industry, as well as myself with a background of 16 years in Royal Dutch Shell. And so I think that's when that transition happened.
It is amazing that they were persistent for 15 years to get this commercial venture going and have these three plants set up.
I would definitely call both of them very passionate and very persistent. I mean, I think in a broader sense, the way that I always try to look at technologies and innovation into a new space, I think I like to think of these in terms of three clear buckets. We look at desirability, we look at feasibility, and then we look at viability. I think it's quite a classic model. Mm-hmm. You know, I think the first question we need to answer is, you know, is this desirable, right? So who wants this? Who does this help? And with whose agenda or ambition does this fit? That's the first question you'll have to answer. And then you have the two separate pieces, which are viability and feasibility. And feasibility is very much frequently, at least in our space, in the technical sense. So can you actually technically accomplish what it is that you seek to do? And not just in the lab, but can you take it out of the lab and into the field and prove that it works? Mm-hmm. And then I think lastly, if you want to scale that, then you need to have a viable approach. So you need to deploy a business model which is effectively investable, that can attract investment and that can show profitability over the longer term so that you can really scale up a business and deploy the technology across the globe with customers.
So let's talk about the technology, the ACT, Accelerated Carbonation Technology. Walk us through the steps. What exactly happens?
Effectively, what we do in the technology is we introduce the waste stream, that is the stream of material in which we would like to sequester the carbon dioxide. And the great thing about the innovation that Carbonate Systems has is that we have the ability with a container to plug in directly into a flue stack. So that is, for lack of a better term, I suppose, the chimney, which is emitting the CO2 in a production plant in cement or energy from waste or others. And we capture the CO2 directly from the flue stack into the container. And then, if you will, if you can imagine this on a conveyor belt, you have as well the